Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Now it's about 4:30, yeah. So we can continue from where we stopped. Sutta note, page 99. Yeah, the mic is here.
Okay. Lesson 29, Heart Sutra class, part 1.1. There were no short notes for last week's Heart Sutra class, so we will use the short notes of the last Tuesday Surangama Sutra class. The Surangama Sutra is important because without it, the Maras will create havoc. According to Master Shenhua, this sutra will be the first sutra to disappear during the Dharma ending age. If this sutra is around, the Maras will find it very difficult to delude the cultivators. This sutra explains clearly the danger of the 50 deviant samadhi, or 50阴谋.
Yeah, 50阴谋.
That can trap the cultivators if they deludedly grasp onto any of them. The Surangama Sutra also explains how the living beings come into this world of existence via the four stages of manifestations originating from the source. These four stages of manifestations are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. From the source comes the true mind in pure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of the basic ignorance caused since time without beginning, by the first thought which screened the true mind, became subjected to birth and death. Thus, both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into alaya vijnana
or vijnana.
Thank you. True mind into alaya vijnana or store consciousness, the root of samsara. This alaya consciousness has three characteristics. A karmic one, which is basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing. A changing or condition arising one, which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception, the root of the first seven consciousness, and its expression in appearances or forms. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual, bright, and nirvanic absolute void was changed into dull and deluded emptiness. Hence Manjushri said, "Thus in delusion there appeared one-sided emptiness. Within this dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallized and turned into illusionary form made of the four elements, resulting in an imaginary world created within the void. When false perceptions confronted form, a very small portion of this form was gradually grasped as being self-possessed and being supported by wrong perception. Mind and form united and grasped at this dim little form as the ego, thereby creating the living being made up of the five aggregates of form and mind." Hence Manjushri continued, "Steadying itself, the thinking process made the continence, and the illusionary knower became the living being. Then via delusion and ignorance, the living being with the mundane or samsaric mind, five mental aggregates of form and mind, came to be via karmic conditioning, and this was then grasped at, hence the self-delusion or sakaya ditti. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasped at the condition arising five aggregates of form and mind as the ego, as the me, as the I and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before the stirring? Then comes the external phenomena world, or world of form or consciousness, created by the mundane mind via its conditioned arising thoughts and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand all this retrospectively, to return the entire external phenomena world back to consciousness within the mundane mind. Then silence, still the mundane mind to connect back to our true mind before returning to the source via the complete cessation of form and mind. 1.2. Everything you come to know and perceive is manifested through mind. Mind made are they, a conditioned arising phenomenal world of consciousness. Before mind arises, there was nothing. So everything comes about after mind has arisen via mental consciousness. So how real can mental consciousness be? Just a mental image, isn't it? Constantly arising and passing away from moment to moment, hence its impermanence and empty or anatta nature. If you can't understand all these via wisdom, then you will grasp and cling onto all these mental manifestations very strongly, thinking that they are real. This is delusion, and it can be so powerful as to cause you a lot of suffering via your sorrow, lamentation, and fear, etc. When you train your mind to be silent, ever mindful and heedful, then you will be able to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom and understanding to enable you to free and liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Then you will be able to connect to the true mind and live from it. It is this true mind in pure awareness that can see things as they are, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. When wisdom stabilizes, the mundane mind will realize itself and ceases to be leading to the realization of Nibbana. Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. Even the pure awareness also will cease. And it cannot be talked about because it is the unconditioned and beyond the form and mind. The Mahayana sixth consciousness is the Theravada Sanya, aggregate of mind, which is usually translated as mental perception or cognition. It also includes the conception and discerning aspects of the mundane mind, but the key meaning is perception and cognition. The first five types of consciousness are seeing, hearing, smelling, tactile, and tasting consciousness, and the sixth, seventh, and eighth consciousness of the Mahayana are within the mental consciousness that arise upon contact of mind with its respective sense organ and data. The mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind because it is conditioned arising, that is not a permanent unchanging entity. It has no nature of its own, whereas Nirvana is totally different because it is the unconditioned. Once the mundane mind completely ceases, then the true mind will manifest, leading upstream to the realization of the oneness nature, Buddha nature. Mundane mind is the deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception, cognition, memory, knowledge, and false thinking, karmic related. Sankara and Sanya are very active within it. It constantly clings and grasps onto sense data, whereas the true mind is the silent, heedful mind, pure and clear, profound and bright mind. It can be aware of sense data, thoughts, and it can also see things as they are. The mind of the enlightened one is connected to their true mind with wisdom. It is the essence of mind, the unconditioned mind. Part 2, 2.1. Sanya, perception, brings the external form into the mind via mental perception, and it is also called the sixth consciousness. This external form then becomes the mental form or sense data for mind to arise mental consciousness because mind is also an organ. Seventh consciousness, Sankara, is likened to the mental organ, and upon contact within mind via the mental activities of Sankara, triggers off the eighth consciousness, Alaya, or storehouse consciousness, Vijnanam. 2.2. The four foundations of mindfulness in brief. First foundation, Kaya Nupassana, starts with Anapanasati, mindfulness of in and out breath. To train the mind to be in sati, to develop heedfulness. Once heedful, cultivate mindfulness of the four postures of standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. Then move on to cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness with clear comprehension of all the connecting activities in between the four postures. That is daily mindfulness of all actions and movements in the present moment to develop the initial insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Four types of clear comprehensions are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domains of meditation, reality of here and now, and lastly, non-delusion. Then cultivate mindfulness of the four elements, which constitute this physical form to see its anatta nature. Then contemplate the 32 parts that constitute this physical body, to understand its condition arising nature, of all the parts coming together to perform the functions of a human being, and to realize its foulness. Finally, to contemplate 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of this physical form or body after it is devoid of consciousness. Second foundation, Vedana Nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling that arises upon contact of mind. Be aware of feeling. If feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feelings, then one has to be aware that it has become sensual desire and ill will, which are the first two of the 5 hindrances of mind, and it is also the first two evil roots of mind. With this awareness, we must arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thoughts that have arisen, followed by the right effort to prevent them from arising in the future. So during meditation, if we are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises via lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as painful or unpleasant feeling, which is the reason why your mind cannot be peaceful anymore, because pain is a mental hindrance. If we have this understanding, then we will be mindful of this feeling via our silent mind to investigate into it, to trace its origination factors so as to understand how the unarisen hindrance of mind comes to be. The mind will come to understand that if there is no wrong view or self-delusion, then the stirring of the mind leading to the arising of the mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will not happen. Then via straightening one's view to accept things as they are, one will be able to retrospectively reverse it, thereby understanding how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance comes to be via wisdom. Then, as this wisdom finally stabilized, one will also come to understand how the non-arising of these hindrances in the future comes to be. This is the way to develop wisdom or insight via Vedana Nupassana, and not via just noting pain, 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 to do away with the pain, via resisting, suppression, and control, etc. To go deeper into the investigation, we can also inquire as follows. Before this unpleasant feeling arises, there was none. Hence, the awareness of this feeling transforming into a mental hindrance can bring about an understanding of how the unarisen hindrance comes to be. How come I have this reaction of mine to those mental perceptions that I come to perceive via my seeing or hearing or thinking, thereby conditioning the feeling or sensation into mental hindrances of sensual desire or ill will? It is because of one's conditioning to reject unpleasant feeling, which is a negative craving, hence a wrong view born of habitual tendency. If you can be at peace with what you perceive via acceptance of what is, then there is no more wrong view. Then with this right view or right understanding, one can just let things be and then silence one's mind to relax into it. When you do not react or grasp and cling onto the sensation with aversion or wrong view, then what happens? The hindrance is no more there. So the mind that accepts the reality of the sensation without reacting to it can be at peace with it. Hence, the mind can relax into it and the sensation will become normal and peaceful again. The lack of peace comes from your reaction of mind to try to do away with the unpleasant sensation that you had labeled via your wrong view. Meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand and then act with right view, following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is incapable of negativity to resolve all issues amicably, instead of reacting to them via delusion and wrong view, thereby creating more negativities in the process. So the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realize the wisdom, to be at peace with any situation within the moment, and not to label it as pain, etc. With no more aversion, then only can we accept the reality of the moment, and to understand that it is because we do not know how to relax into it, causing the chi flow to be constricted, thereby causing that unpleasant sensation. This is what you should do. You don't have to resist, suppress, and control it. Suppress should be suppress. Spelling.
Yeah, the spelling is wrong.
Third foundation, citta nupassana. Like feeling, here we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and various states of consciousness, etc. When the content of consciousness has greed, one must be aware to deal with it as above, so as to develop the wisdom to free the mind. Fourth foundation, Dhamma Nupassana. Its first category of cultivation is A. Mindfulness of the five hindrances of mind, followed by B. Mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind, then C. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, the 18 sense realms, to trace its origination factors and then retrospectively reverse them via wisdom. Then D. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the final cultivation of E. Mindfulness of the four noble truths, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Once enlightened, there is no more delusion. So one will never be deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live the noble life wonderfully and meaningfully, following the Noble Eightfold Path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence.
Okay, I will explain the last paragraph. This is the most important. This is what we went through just now too. So this is about living life. The moment the form and mind is able to realize the wisdom and cease, then that form and mind, you can say, is enlightened. It has the understanding and the wisdom. So this understanding will actually connect to the form and mind. It's from the nature it awakened. Yeah? So once enlightened, there is no more delusion. So one will never be deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore, which is very true. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live life, the noble life, wonderful and meaningful. Wonderfully and meaningfully, following the Noble Eightfold Path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutta said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. So this one is a very important understanding. Yeah? For you to truly live life, you need to have the wisdom connected to the form and mind. That's why awakening is very important. Okay, continue, part three.
I actually got something to share about the labeling. I think this is what I experienced. If I was given a choice of A or B, then I pick something already. Then somehow, let's say I take B, then somehow, some from reactions of other people, A was better. Then I actually feel bad. But then actually, I'm happy with my choice. And I actually, if I didn't have the thought that A was better, I can enjoy B very well. So it's like I condition myself to think A is better, then I feel that pain, that disappointment, that suffering. Mm-hmm. So actually, when I try to reflect further, it's the same thing. If you tell a child, Coca-Cola not nice, grow up also Coca-Cola won't be nice. If a person is used to certain pain, they can get addicted to that kind of pain also, and they don't find it painful. So actually, when we say pain, it's because we label and we already say we don't like this feeling. It is pain. This is numb. This is pain. This is brain or anything. But actually, the human being, it's based on how you train it. Pain doesn't have to be pain. It doesn't have to be negative. It can be positive. Oh, if I can bend like that in the future, I'll be more flexible. All these things. People, when they train, they might go gym. Not painful, man. Painful, but they like it. You see? But when we meditate, oh, it cannot. A bit of pain cannot already. But if you think of it as, oh, after this, I can do yoga. It actually cannot. I can sit longer. So it's really the mind, the thought. So the labeling, I really feel, makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
Positive, negative, like, don't like. There's a lot in the thought.
The way you perceive something is based on your views, opinion, and conditioning. Conditioning is very real. If you are from a locality where you like certain type of bitter food or whatever, then if they were to teach you pain is good feeling, then you will grow up in that way and you like pain. You don't like a situation where there is no pain. You heard of sadists or not? Huh? Oh, these people, they like to be tortured or not? Or they torture people. So, yeah, this is the way their mind is being conditioned into. So sometimes, conditioning without wisdom, you will get yourself entangled, because like the Buddha said, you make a decision to crave, to desire that sensation. So craving is a cause of suffering, no matter what type of craving. So when you are conditioned into one aspect, then you like this aspect, the duality, the opposite you don't like, then it will cause suffering. So it's craving, the trigger of suffering. So without craving, without duality, you have no suffering. So to understand conditioning, you have to understand craving. That's why the Buddha said cause of suffering is craving. So all conditioning will lead to craving, because it conditions you to like and dislike. Like is positive desire or positive craving. Dislike is negative craving. As long as there is duality, there is craving. But if you have the wisdom, it don't have to be that way. You can accept things as they are. Then you don't have to like or dislike, but they are the way they are. Then the way you taste things, you know, you have your preference. You have your own like and dislike based on conditioning. But as long as you like to eat that one and you don't have craving, it's okay. You understand? Like good food. You've got condition, you eat. Don't have condition, it's okay. Then there is no craving involved. Where you understand everything is dependent originating, condition arising. You cannot want it your way, that's it. If nature's way is allowable, then it will arise. So if you want your life to be in certain way, you must introduce the appropriate condition following nature's law. Then you can have it. And that one is based on understanding. You plant the causes and condition, then you have the good life. So understanding will lead to wisdom that will actually free the mind from craving. Otherwise, the conditioning will lead to craving, and you deludedly grasp it. So all conditioning will lead to craving when you are deluded. But when you have wisdom, it will not lead to craving. Because when we grow up, we have certain preference. Like during the time of the Buddha, you check the Jakarta story, I remember last time Ravan Suwano did mention. He said certain arahana, they like to behave certain way. Oh. Some they like to jump around and all those things. Because this is their acquired, I shouldn't call it conditioning. It's their character. They like this type of way. But no harm, they don't hurt people, they don't harm people. They are incapable of negativity. It's just like Kayamita travel with me on spiritual trip. Sometimes I don't need to order, you go Thailand, they know what I like. But for me, if there's no condition to have that food, it's okay. Understand? It's not necessary that every time I must have that type of food. I may have that preference. The thing that they used to know I will order is which one? Huh? What other food are you used to order? Hamji Falampo or the what? No. The other one, the Kai Lan. Hamji Kai Lan. Because I grew up in that way. And I like Hamji because my mother was the one that cook a lot of Hamji. We are Hakka people, Hakka people. Do you know Hakka people don't use Tau Yu Wan gravy? What do they use? Hu Lo. You know what is Hu Lo? Oh, very, very kiam one. And we all take ham yi, sort of fish, with Hu Lo. No? You can take one. Oh, Hu Lo, put into the ham yi. That's how we eat. And we also put in sui kam, hiam jiu. And my elder brother like it. And the wife also like it. My sister-in-law. Because we are from Alostar. We like laksa, we like curry and all those things. So it's an acquired type of taste. So because it's suitable for my stomach. And when I eat, I feel good with that food. So it's something that you have to find out. And a lot of people last night used to tell me, Machane kiamo. You know what they tell me? High blood pressure. True or not? How many, anybody doctor? Anybody who is a doctor? Don't have a doctor. If you take too much salty food, the doctor will tell you, you got high blood pressure or no? True or not? Not sure. You all don't know. Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah, just use it for the recording.
As far as I know, if you have high blood pressure.
Oh, you heard it before, is it?
Many a time, in campus, during our ethical studies.
Oh, okay.
It's known that it's.
So it is an acceptable statement,
many think it has people. If you really measure, according to what I understand from the students and from the lecturers.
Yeah. So they say it's bad for health. They always say.
If you are already having high blood pressure, sodium has that capacity to cause
make it worse.
Yeah. So it's hard to decrease.
Oh, okay. And you know what happened? I never had BP problem. I never had blood pressure problem. Until now, still very good. 80, 117 or 80 now. Normally it's about 80, 120. Every time I go for blood pressure, the doctor will say, "Oh, very good, your pressure." Well, they expect my age, sure high on. But they check, they are very surprised. But don't because of what I say, you go and take salty food, then you get into trouble, don't come after me. Because it's me, since young, I already so used to salty food. And I never have problem with BP because I meditate, understand or not? So, different people, different. That's why you cannot one size fit all. Then go and commit me, I can get into trouble for that. That's why sometimes I say, don't quote me, because condition different, you may not understand the real reason. Actually, sometimes the way I eat, because of my family history or something, people find it like very unhealthy. We are very salty. the first time I went to, that time not married yet, I ate their food. The opposite, you know. Very plain, you know. I asked my wife, I said, oh, jia jia, you know. Then I said, how you all eat? Then I asked for hulo, you know. They don't have one. They got tau yu. And tau yu, I pour in like pour soup. Like he said, you jia ane kiam, you know. I said, it's sweet, la, tau yu. To me, tau yu is sweet, you know. Oh. So it's the condition. But luckily, after I married to her, I reduce my salt intake by a lot. Except when I travel. Huh? I call Hami Falampo, I call Hami Kai Lan, all those things. But she cook, she also understandable. She understand what I want. She put a little bit, a bit salty, but not that type of saltiness that I used to eat. So you have to understand.
For your good health until now.
Oh, maybe. You know, I think so. Yeah, her soup all very chia one. No more salt. So I think the sodium intake reduced a lot. Okay, we continue. Yeah. Pass to Garrett.
Hello. I think we talk so much about five aggregates, right? Yeah. And then we touch on the three characteristics of the existence. Yes. Then now, just now, we touch on this, Zhen Yan Qing. Okay. I think it has been puzzling me all the time. One thing that I just don't have a very firm answer. It's about birth and death.
Okay.
So it does say here is the... the roots of the consciousness, actually it grabs hold of certain karmic things, right? And then it will determines your next life, what is going to be.
It's the last thought moment.
Last moment, okay.
Last thought moment.
So, Brother Teo, on our mundane minds, we've been talking about so many birth, rebirth, life after life, okay?
Yeah.
And then we've been talking what last life, what I was, right? And then we are working betterment for our next life, right?
Oh, okay.
So, if they, I, to my understanding, there is no identification of me now, you see, right? So I say, why bother about my last life and what is working on my next life, you see?
Okay.
So this really puzzled me.
So your question is what?
My question is, what is the identity of my.
Oh, you.
Me, right. Okay, when I talk about my previous life, I was about Brahma.
Yeah,
so,
very good question. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
You all taken the shot or not, you know? Then, drop it off. I'll explain to you. I think I know what your question is and what is the thing that you want to understand. Because you seldom have the condition to understand this teaching. If you have been listening to my sharing, then you understand. You fail to understand who you are, what you are, because to you have a present life, you have a past life, then there is a future life. Understand? So that is where most human beings tend to believe. Well, they think this is me. That's why the Buddha's teaching is this human being, which is our five aggregate of form and mind, where we are born as a human being, the Buddha said this is not you. But this one is subject to karma. That's why sometimes in his teaching he said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So what happened is, let's say, we have been born into samsara for very long. I think no more ingat. You say, let's say this is the life continuum. Then there is many birth and death. Birth and death, many. So until infinity, yeah? Because according to the Buddha, he has been aeons and aeons and aeons. So every birth, let's say this one is the present one, yeah? Number one. Then this is number two. Then this is number three, four, five. Then six, seven, eight, nine, and continue. So this line number one, you are a human being. Okay? Yeah? Then maybe next line, you become a deva. Okay? Then depend on what you do. After that, you may be reborn in some other rhyme. Huh? Can be any rhyme. So, going forward, these are the birth and death, birth and death. Then before that, you could have been other thing. Sometimes born as non-human, sometimes born as animals, then sometimes born as Brahma. So we have a lot of birth. And every of these, the Buddha says, is your segmented life. One segment of your life. Segment of your life. So this segmented life, segmented life is what rebirth is all about. Even though each and every one of that is a different one, when you are born as a human being, okay, you are a human being with the name Garrett. Then maybe previous life you are a deva. What rhyme you don't know. Then another rhyme you may be a non-human, could be any of the other rhyme. But each and every one of these, the Buddha say, it's not you. Because all of this, how can it be you? Understand? How can every birth is you? But like you say, before that I was this. After that I was this. Because to you is you exist. And you cannot deny that there was a previous life before this. Then to you, everyone is you, no? You understand? That's why you asked me that question, you still cannot understand birth and death. Then why do we talk about the five aggregate of form and mind? So this segmented life, segment of your life, segmented life, this one is what the Buddha say, the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why this one is not real, the Buddha say. This one is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why this one keep on birth and death, birth and death. So what happened is, we have a karmic nature. Karmic nature. Then we have a spiritual nature. Every being has. So this spiritual nature and karmic nature, they are nature. It's not an individual being. It's not something that you can call this is me, this is I, or you own it. No. This one means the summation of all your life. Each and every birth and death, all your mental intention, all of the karmic volition that you create, you sum them all up, it becomes your karmic nature. And this one is needed for you to come to the existential world to take birth. So this karmic nature, what it will do is, it will condition a form of mind. Condition the five aggregate of form of mind. Five aggregate of form and mind. So let's say this life, as a human being, we have a physical body, we have a consciousness trapped inside. So it conditioned this one out for your nature. your spiritual nature to come to this existential world. Otherwise, you cannot come. But this physical body and this mind is like a vehicle and a tool for you to come here. Vehicle means like a car. You want to go somewhere, it takes you there. So our body also same. You want to go somewhere, we walk there, or we go by car, this body go. Then this mind is like the thinking tool. It's for you to use. It's a tool for you to use. So if you understand this, then you understand the Buddha's teaching of five degrees of formal mind. This one is not you. This one is karmically conditional. That's why the Buddha said this one is subject to karma. This one is subject to karma. And it is just a world of consciousness, a phenomenal world of consciousness. All these are form and mind. The consciousness is the one that takes rebirth. If there is ignorance, avijja, at the last thought moment before you die, then this one will condition the next form of mind. The next form of mind may not be a human being. So this one, let's say, is a human being. Human being. Then when people take rebirth, if they are born as an animal, as a peta, as a deva, or whatever rhyme it could be, everyone is different. But every of these is the five aggregate that is condition arising. Conditioned from your karmic nature to come to this earth. And this one is impermanent. It will be subject to birth and death. So this one is born and die. Born and die. But each and every one of these is connected to your karmic nature. But they are not you. Does this answer your the question?
I think very much right. Okay. So put it a bit easier for me to understand.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
What I am now,
yeah,
is a result of my previous somebody.
The previous segmented life. All
somebody,
the segmented
right,
life.
Okay.
The summation of this.
Because of its karmic force.
Yes.
And then
you have to come in the form of a new form of mind. So this one is, you got no choice. You have to come. Your karma forced you to come.
So is there any elements of the previous consciousness being coming to this life?
Oh, you talk about that. The Buddha's teaching is different. Very good. Yeah. So that one, you see, you are talking about...
No, it's just a question.
I know. Yeah. I have to explain this. Yeah. You see, in the Tibetan, they believe after they die, they believe they reincarnate. You heard of this word, isn't it? Reincarnation. They believe they reincarnate. Reincarnate. N-A-T-E, is it? Correct? So they believe you reincarnate. Then the question is, what reincarnate? They think is something like what you believe. Is there part of the consciousness reincarnate? They believe in that. The consciousness before. Reincarnate. They believe. The Buddha say no such thing. Then the Christian and some Hindu, they believe there is a soul. You heard of this, isn't it? They say the soul reincarnate. Kingdom of God. But they say this soul go to the kingdom of God. Reunion with like your school reunion, you reunion with God in the kingdom of God. Where they believe one life. They believe the soul is eternal. You know what is eternal, isn't it? Yeah? So they believe, this soul is responsible for your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. He said, without this soul, you cannot function. The Buddha said, no. So what the Buddha is telling you is, at the moment of death, there is a death consciousness. So this death consciousness decides your rebirth. So it will condition. Let's say this one is death consciousness. So this one is DC. It will condition rebirth consciousness. So this one is rebirth consciousness. And just like now, while you're living life, all your thought after thought, every thought that arises will condition the next thought. You agree? That it will condition the next thought. So when you die, this process didn't end. It's the same. Death consciousness conditions rebirth consciousness. So what went into the conception is just one rebirth consciousness. We are in the Tuesday class, I think your wife knows, Adeline, we studied this before. So there is only one rebirth consciousness. I better use the word O-N-E. So it's just one simple consciousness, understand? Then after that, what happened is, according to science, we know when there is conception, what happened? When the wife or the lady is fertile, then there is conception. Then the sperm and ovum, these are more or less like single cell thing. Then they take conception, then you become pregnant. Then this will subdivide. The doctor know that day I printed from the internet is in our short note, outline short note. Then while this one is forming, the heartbeat doesn't come yet. There is no heartbeat, the doctor know. The heartbeat will come on the 21st day, after 21st day. After 21 day. Then the heartbeat come in. The heartbeat. Comes in. Why 21 days? If the consciousness is directly in, immediately the heart should pump in it. You understand? But because during this stage of subdivision, the scientists know day one subdivide in how many, day two subdivide. It's almost on the 19th day or what, then only the cells to form the heart start. That is the first organ. That is completed on the 21st day. That's why after that one complete, it can receive your karmic force from this karmic nature. So this one, how it support this human being? Then you will understand. What happened is this human being need three conditions for it to be alive or animated to have life. What are the three? It must have a proper physical body. The physical body is normal, no problem, understand not? Then this physical body can support the consciousness. With these two, not enough. Where your heart need to pump, correct? So the life force from the karmic force. This is karmic force. Go in. So this one is karmic force. How to draw? Karmic force. Karmic or life force. That's why this karmic force is from your karmic nature. Without this karmic force, your heart cannot pump. You read my this blue book, you will know. Have you taken a copy? Yeah, this is a new book, latest. Understanding the Heart and the Mind. You read, it's all inside there. So what happened is, this karmic force or life force is very important for this human being or form and mind. Yeah? To maintain life. If the karmic force stop, it's like destructive karma. Suddenly, heart attack, die. Form and mind separate, you call die. So this karmic force is one of the three conditions. So when you understand through meditation that the rebirth consciousness, because my consciousness came out before. So that consciousness, when you die, this consciousness has evolved. From one rebirth consciousness, that's why you look at the baby. Yeah? As the baby get evolved, become a fetus, after the 21 day, the karmic force go in. You understand? The karmic force go in, it pumps the heart. So there are two heartbeats, the baby and the mother. Can follow? So after that, this continue to develop. Since it started with one simple consciousness, that's why the baby is the way it is when it's born into the world. They don't know any language. They don't know anything. And what they see, especially first month, second month, third month, everything they see, like very innocent, very cute. They don't have words in their memory. They don't have any conditioning, nothing, very innocent. But they have the senses. That's why hungry, they cry. Be uncomfortable, they cry. And so, something not normal, they cry. And the parent need to attend to it. If this consciousness, like they say, reincarnation has gone in, then this kid will not be like that. You understand? Immediately come out, retain all the consciousness. Of course, they can argue. It takes about 9 to 10 months for the mother to give birth. So they try to argue that this reincarnation consciousness before you die, after 9 or 10 months inside the mother's womb, forgot everything. You agree, huh? Where got such thing, the consciousness within 9 months can forget everything? Even people with dementia also can remember old things. As you live your life, so this single rebirth consciousness slowly, slowly get conditioned. Who conditioned this one? The mother, the people who take care of the baby. You teach him thing. A apple. Then like my daughter said, conditioning. Next time your grandchildren or what, sweet thing you say, no good, the taste very bad. Don't take this. Take the one, very full one you call it. Bitter one. Huh? Then he will like bitter thing when he grow up. But you condition that, you say, this is good. They will believe you, I tell you. They will believe you. Ah, they will follow you. No need to say baby lah. You go to certain tribal group, cannibalize, they eat human being one. Or they eat raw thing one. You dare to eat or not? You must cook with that. You must put spices somewhere in there. Tao yu hu lo. They all are like that. Just eat. Oh. To them, that is delicious. Oh. Then the Japanese sushi. No need to cook. Oh. Delicious. Oh. It's an acquired taste. You understand? Huh? So no need to argue about that. Because it's the conditioning. How you, so this consciousness, that's why the Buddha's explanation to me is very, very clear. And because my consciousness came out before I know, this consciousness that came out is the complex consciousness. Because after I was 9 years old that time, I remember. One day I went out and play until I was tired, until I got no more strength. I just able to reach home and I collapsed onto the bed. Straight away knock off. At that time, 9 years old, I don't know how to meditate. I don't know anything about meditation. So what happened was, when I was flat down there, my consciousness actually came out. Yeah, I was so tired. And you know what happened? Most people tired, I should sleep like anything. But very funny, you know, at the age of 9, I had this natural awareness inside my body, you know. Although I was so tired, I knew I was tired. That was my awareness, no. I didn't know, no. You know, my, that awareness finally can feel how the craving force that actually bind my consciousness to this body, I saw it dissipating. You know this word, dissipating. Dissipate. Reducing, like become less and less, less and less. Then finally, this craving force gone. No? Then all my three areas of consciousness zop, come back to one. No? Then come out. When it come out, first time, I don't know what it is. I was up above the place I sleep, no, in my house, the room there. Then I got one brother walk in. No? Then he was looking for something. Then he asked. He was asking me, actually, but he saw me sleeping. Then he didn't ask. He go and look for it. Then after that, I call him. No, he cannot hear me. To me, it's, I call him. I know I call him. The words, everything come out. I can hear him. I was not in my body. Then he went out. After he went out, I realized my body down there. I'm up there. So what happened is, immediately I want to go into my body. I couldn't enter my body. Well, my consciousness actually severed. I died. But because of my power, I'm not supposed to die. Nobody taught me. I suddenly know how to move in. No, I give it a push. Pow, I went in. No. The moment I went in, I regain consciousness. I take control of my body. The first thing I want to know is I run out and look for my brother. I said, did you went in and say all those words? He looked at me. He said, yeah. But how do you know? You were sleeping like a log, is it? Well, I actually was dead down there. Yeah. That's why this is for me to understand. So that later on when I meditate, when I go through the thing, I know what this thing is. That's why when you die, especially your mother-in-law, I don't think die already no more. No. The random of consciousness, the remain, will come out. Understand? No? And it will wander around, depending on the delusion and the ignorance.
There's the old Chinese saying that the consciousness will leave your body four days after you die.
Not only little, 4 days. Depend on that consciousness. If that consciousness got attachment to their loved one, they stay very long.
Will stay very long.
They stay very long.
So don't simply say things.
That's why you don't simply say things. That's why they tell you, Tao Chat, you must have ceremony. Yeah? Then, Yi Chat, Sam Chat, until Chat Chat, 49 days. And only you stop. But that one is tradition. That is the belief. The actual one is actually the random of consciousness come out is different. That's why I came out before I knew. That's why I dare to explain to you. Then the Buddha's way is correct. You know, as this baby born, this simple consciousness is still very simple. That's why it learned. Then it learned. As it learned, it become more and more complex. Then it evolved. It go to school, learn more things. Then exposed to society, learn more things. Then later on become naughty, cunning, have craving, desire. So all these become the bundle of memory, conditioning, views, opinion, belief system. your even whatever that you hold on to, your scars or memory or food, all this is what your brain is carrying. And your consciousness is so conditioned by all this memory, views and opinion and conditioning that people give you. So this consciousness becomes more and more complex. The worst is you have a lot of suffering. Then you have a lot of what they call depressive thought, unhappy thought, hatred. All this has coming. Then this one become very, very sophisticated, very common. So this one is the one that finally evolved into the consciousness of you before you die. That's why when you die, the rebirth consciousness go first. Then immediately after that, this random of consciousness, you know the spelling around. Random of consciousness. Emma.
R-E-M-N-A-N-T.
Random of consciousness. This one come out. This one come out. This one actually is no longer you, understand? Where your form and mind separate. Right? This one is the random of consciousness that come out. But this one can stay for a while. This one, if you know how to use, you can use it. But it cannot take another body, you know. Your karma don't allow you to do that. Unless got special condition. And this one can stay in the world for quite a while depending on the understanding and the craving and the whatever. But this one will finally be dispersed. You know what is random, isn't it? Yeah? The remain. So what happened is like you burn a piece of log. The fire gone already. There is still smoke, isn't it? Correct or not? That smoke is like this balance. So after a long time, that smoldering smoke also gone in there. This one is the same. After some time, if the craving very strong, attachment, the energy hold him here, when all the loved one die, the relative and all those people he know die, then everybody don't know. He talk, people cannot hear him. No. You think he can stay or not? He will give up. That's why disperse. Then when you talk to them, when they understand, say, no point holding on, you better go for rebirth. Then this one understand, actually cease by itself. Let me finish. 5:30, only those who are supposed to go dinner go. The rest don't need to go. So answering your question, Garrett, reincarnation is another theory. The Tibetan use it. I don't know. I don't want to comment. You go and find out for yourself. So the Christian, the Hindu, all those people believe. They believe in this eternal soul. Transmigrate one body to another. But they believe in one life. After that go either eternal heaven or eternal hell to be condemned forever. So if you believe the soul theory of the Christian, then you can go and find out. But how to find out? After you die only you can know. So after you die, if this is not the true theory or true happening, then you end up with this type of happening and you still cannot know, then this random of consciousness come out, then you realize it's not a soul. This one also can disperse. Then you can see all the church people, all the things. Then you say, what is going on? I am not in the kingdom of God. I am also not in eternal hell. I am still on earth. So how? So this understanding is very beautiful. So when the heartbeat comes, means the karmic force come. Understand? This one is after 21 days. So this karmic force and life force is connected to this. 31 days, the heartbeat come in and it pump the heart. Then this one come out. This initial rebirth consciousness is a very simple consciousness, not complicated, not complex. But later on, it starts to accumulate through the conditioning, through the whatever thing that you teach them. Then this one become more and more complex, more and more sophisticated. Then it carries itself more and more of these life experiences. Your whatever life experiences, your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your whatever they call nightmare, or any of this, then this one become what you are. Well, this is the bundle of memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. Well, you acquire them when you go through life, through all the conditioning. Then your consciousness become very complicated, very complex. That's why this one is the source of mundane mind. Understand? Because from this memory you act, understand? So how can you act? That's why no peace. Inside there's so much rubbish. Your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. All of your whatever experiences in life, all inside there. Even your own personal secret also inside there. Which you're scared of your wife or spouse, no one, also inside there. That's why they say you cannot hide. Because it's all inside. So this is how life can be understood. But this one, maybe it helps you when you understand. Then when you come out, I don't know whether you can retain the teaching or not. When you come out, do you know what death process is or not? Without mindfulness and awareness, you don't even know how you die. You understand? You don't even know what happened during death. Do you know enough time and I want to listen? You have seen people before they die, what happened? Lao Han Xiong, isn't it? Simply say things. Then they say they see this relative that actually all die already. Yeah. Then you think Sa Tiam Long, understand? Simply talk already. Actually, no. Well, I met one Kayamita's very good friend. She was at the peak of her career. She got breast cancer, you know, working for a very big listed company, you know, I think IOI, you know, got breast cancer, you know, 40-something years old. You know, that time was relatively young. And she cannot take that news. You know, he went and see the doctor, the specialist. Then the specialist said, I will do the biopsy for you. And I will say, okay. Then immediately he said, confirm cancer. Don't know what stage. Then he asked the doctor, what should I do? The doctor straight away recommends surgery. We have good money, yeah? Surgery. She, without hesitation, go for surgery. And there's a reason for it. Because when she was admitted to the hospital, because of the fear, the phobia, she cannot accept that reality that she has breast cancer at the peak and prime of her career. No? How can she take it? And got two children, no? I met them. So she went in. When she went in, she saw this non-human, you know, talking to her, you know, one on the ceiling, you know, she told me, you are going to die 3 days' time. And another in front say, you are going to die. She panicked, she freaked, she shrieked, then she chased them away, they don't want to go away. You know. But the hospital people cannot see, you know. The doctor also cannot see, the nurse also cannot see. The husband also cannot see her. They thought she's something wrong. Until the doctor told the husband, I think this weekend, you better bring your wife back first. Next week only bring her for the operation. So she brought her back. But because she is my Kayamita's very good friend, she contacted her. Then she called me. Then I say, if it's your friend, I will go. At night, 9 p.m., I went to the house. And when I went in, I can feel the fear, the deep fear, anxiety. It's like she is in no position to talk to any except the close friend, the best friend. So before I went in, the house got dog. No? You know what the dog was doing? The dog was howling. No? Ooh, this, no? Because the non-human are there. And she's seeing them. She got so much fear. Then I went in, I sensed already. Then I told my Kayamita, you talk to her, don't worry. Yeah? Just calm down, sit down. Then I want to hear direct from her. I said, what I hear from my Kayamita may not be the full story. Understand? Then she starts to calm down. Then she slowly starts to tell me, he said, if you can accept what I tell you, then I will continue to talk to you. And she told me what happened at the hospital. Then you know how I answer her. I said, it is normal. You really see that? Oh, she was very happy. For the first time, somebody can talk to her and explain to her what she is going through. When she was in the hospital, later on she told me, the Christian friend come, the Buddhist friend come, all the friend and relative come. Everyone tell him to do something. You come to church, you show Gautin, God will help you. I'll say, then the Buddhist one, you chant Ta Pi Chou, you chant this. He was so confused. Nobody can tell her what happened, but a lot of this type of advice. Then I explained to her, I said, I cannot tell her the complete truth. You understand not? I said, this non-human do exist. Do exist. I said, you are normal. You didn't really hallucinate. Wow, he straight away stopped me and said, I want to call my husband to come down. Your husband also don't believe her. Then what happened was, I tell her, certain people, I cannot say about to die, can see her. You understand? Because her frequency, because of the intense fear and the karmic conditioning, her frequency became like the frequency of the non-human. You understand? That's why she can see them, can hear them. So I say, you don't fear, you don't panic. Yeah, this is normal. I say, because you see them, you panic, that fear intensifies, then it is detrimental to your health. I told her straight away, I say, because you have fear and all this. Oh, sorry, before that I asked him, are you a Buddhist? He said, not really, but my mother is traditional Buddhist. Oh, I said, like that, easier to talk to you. So I tried to explain to him karma. I said, law of cause and effect. I said, you don't worry. When you understand it later on, you will become beautiful. So I explained to her that because of your karmic past, when you have this disease, it will trigger of fear, worry, anxiety, create the condition for this negative karma to surface. Then you can see them. Yeah. And what they are telling you, if you don't have fear, you will recover. Then I told her, I suspect, I said, are you having a very stressful job? He straight away told me yes. I said, no wonder you have this cancer. You know, when you are stressed, he said, at the HR, the moment the phone ring, from the secretary of the MD, she got cold fear, and she was in that state for a few years. And she was under tremendous pressure. Right? He's the head of HR. So what happened was, she didn't know that the frequency has reached there, and what the non-human tell her can happen, in 3 days you will die. Yeah. Because all the karmic conditioning is there. But luckily, because I went there, I spoke to her, I said, you should reverse all this. Fear, worry, anxiety, stress. Yeah, none of this can help you. It will make you worse. Your immune system will go down. Then your health will deteriorate very fast. Then he straight away said, go and get an exercise book out. Write down everything I teach her. I teach her how to radiate metta, how to develop wholesomeness of mind, inner peace, inner well-being, then how to do the mind-sweeping method and simple type of meditation. She wrote it down. Then she become more calm. Then she liked to talk to me. But before that, he asked my Kayamita, the good friend, who is he? He said, who am I? He thought my job is to help people go through all these things. He must be thinking I'm psychologist or the one. Then my Kayamita, he's a civil engineer. Huh? Civil engineer? But he's very good in the Dhamma. Huh? That one calmed her down. Then she start to ask me a lot of questions. Then I start to explain the basic to her. I said, what you need to do is, if you know this is happening, you need to learn how to meditate, to train your mind to be calm, to be peaceful. Then You have to have well-being. That's why I say, you ready, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. I say, focus on the self. Then it will start to heal. Then it will start to have what they call joy, the positive energy, the love. Then this cell will not mutate anymore on the cell. Then it will help boost up your immune system and all. Immediately, she was so happy. She told me, no wonder, nobody can tell me that, and my fear cannot go down. Then he told me, the hospital, the Frankham Christian Buddhist, all telling her different things. He said, nobody can tell her what she is going through. Then the next morning, until midnight he left. The next morning, he called up my Kayamita friend. He said, thank you so much. You know why? First night she can sleep well. Before that, cannot sleep at all. Insomnia and all those things. That's why before you die, you don't have mindfulness, you don't know how to die. Your karmic conditioning take over. Do you understand? Karmic conditioning take over means your conscious mind is gone. Your conscious mind cannot know anything, cannot do anything. Then a lot of people say, before they die, they teach you how to die so that you can get good birth. You go and listen to all those things. Before you die, you already completely karmic conditioning take over. You are not what you are already. Unless you have mindfulness, awareness, then you know how to die. Then like me, inside there, before I know how to meditate, I already know how to die with the awareness. I saw all this, and I knew what all this is. How did I learn all this? It's from my past. Otherwise, how can I have all this understanding to come and share with you? Whatever I share with you, if I don't have personal experience, I will not tell you. You understand? That's why I dare to say things that is not written in the book. Nobody talked about it before. So this is what actually happened. So, like my mother-in-law also saying, before she about to pass away, she has a lot of this good thought now, good mind. Then she will go and ask the children, go and buy fruits and give to all the hospital staff now. Because she got this abdomen thing, I also know, colon entanglement. So my mother, my wife look after her and say, then put her to the UHC government servant, free. So GH, UH. Then before she died, she also knew. Then a few days before she passed away also, that karmic conditioning take over also, she is not herself already. So during that time, without mindfulness, the four elements, when they collapse, because the consciousness is still inside. When the rebirth consciousness is about to take place, this random of consciousness that is inside has not come out. So there is one type of Mahayana teaching. Last time got somebody from Taiwan, the blue-eyed boy of that Nan Huai Qing. You heard of Nan Huai Qing, right? He's a lay person, but he's a very good monk. His blue-eyed boy disciple came over. We have somebody introduced to us. Then I heard, he really have the Dhamma. And he shared with us this sutta. He talked about, it's taken from the Tibetan Book of Death. You heard of this book, right? Tibetan Book of Death. They describe to you the death process. You read before? Come, tell.
I cannot remember, but I download online.
Oh, okay. You read about it, you can download online. But you read, you cannot understand, I tell you. Because when he passed it to us, he read, I understand. You know what happened or not? He said, when the karmic conditioning take over, when the four elements starts to collapse, the first one is what? Heat gone, okay? The breath also gone. Then? No, breath is the wind. Then? Wait. The element, when it starts to, what they call degenerate, the liquid come out first. Then you know your consciousness inside is like magnified. This is like earthquake happening.
Well, your consciousness is inside, trapped inside, you know. Because your all the other senses is dead, the organ of theory, you know. But this consciousness trapped inside through karmic conditioning is not a conscious human being anymore, you know. And you don't know what is happening, you know. So that's why there is fear. Then you can hear all these, like the ghost or the demon and all those things chasing you, all this frightening sound. So it's written in the sutta there, is it? And that one is all your negative karma one, condition all this type of thing to happen. There is a karmic condition. Then the other half, if you got good merits, if cultivate blessing and all that, then the good merit will come out in a different way, you know. Tell you, don't panic, this one all not real and all those things. Yeah. So finally, see which one stronger. Then it decides your rebirth. That's why you got no choice. They make the choice. Karma make the choice. But if you have awareness, you don't die this way. You know how to die. When the death process about to happen, when the craving for dissipate, how the consciousness come together, you will know. Then if you have no delusion, there is no rebirth consciousness. There is no karmic conditioning. That's how the arahant don't have rebirth consciousness. The bodhisattva don't have rebirth consciousness, where they have the wisdom, they have the understanding. And they don't die this way. They will go to parinibbana, cessation of form and mind. Finish. Yeah. So this one is thank Jared, or Jared, sorry. Jared, I say. Every time pronounce your name wrongly. Okay, go for dinner. Thank you.